You're listening to eDirus.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش پڑھ Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. In the last two sessions of Darsi Hadith, we covered the virtues of the Mu'awwadhatayn, the combination of the last 11 ayats in Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, the virtue and the protection that it gives from complete harm from shaitan. Another very important subject that we need to look into, that as an individual, alhamdulillah, we have the wazaif as a remedy that protect individuals. How are we to protect our homes? In reference to a haunted house, So if you have a property that is haunted, if you have a premises that is haunted, what is the solution for that? What do we do? First of all, let us understand the definition of a haunted house. A haunted house does not mean you have spirits and ghosts and spoofs flying around that you need to call the Ghostbusters to come around and save you. Subhanallah. A haunted house in the Islamic terminology means where you have a high level of jinni activity in that premises. And what that means is that the jinns have taken complete occupancy of that area, and they will not allow comfortable living for any other external source to be there. They won't allow that. Whatever the reasons, but they won't allow that. And so that is why you have a condition, a different level of disturbance and annoyance that happens to individuals when they live in a property or in a premises. This comes actually from the jinnats. And so in the English language, we would say that it is a haunted property. And you have different levels of this. As far as possession is concerned of that property, you have different levels. It starts with a very mild, moderate level of possession, in which at times the jinns would annoy a person, or there would be some form of disturbance in the property which is not normal, and you'll find that this is something that is extra that is happening in the house. And the very high level, that could also lead to an extreme level where there is this extreme annoyance and disturbance which could even lead to physical pain to that insan, to the people that are there. And so the question is, what is the remedy, what is the ilaj of a haunted house? Now, scholars, alhamdulillah, have explained all the different scenarios in the kitabs which they have taken out from the Quran and the hadith and a lot of the events, incidents that have taken place. Ibn Sa'd has mentioned one remedy in his Tabaqat, and Ibn Abi Dunya has also mentioned this, that when Zayd ibn Aslam became the governor of Madaine Banu Salim, a locality which is known as Madaine Banu Salim, when he was appointed as a governor, Zayd bin Aslam, it was a fairly new community in an area. And so the people came to him, complaining to him as a governor, and they said to him that the jinns have taken control of our houses. The jinns are controlling our houses. In the night, they make a lot of noise. And so what are we to do? The jinns are a constant pain for us. In the night, they don't allow us to sleep. So Hazrat Zayd ibn Aslam gave them a remedy. And he said to the people, this was an entire community of people, Banu Salim tribe. And so he said to them that what you do is you give adhan as many times as you can in your property. Give adhan until you feel that things are back to normality. Until you feel that things are back to normality. So give adhan. So this was his ijtihad. So give adhan in your properties. So give adhan upstairs, give adhan downstairs in your rooms, wherever you are, as many times as you can. Why? Because in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, when the muadhin gives adhan, the call to prayer, because of adhan, the shaitan has to flee that area. And he has to run away. And this is in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So all of Banu Salim, this method was employed, that they would give adhan as many times as they could. As many times as they could. And mashallah, in a very short period of time, in a few days, all the jinns had vacated the houses. And mashallah, things were back to normality. So the scholars have mentioned, one method is for an individual to give adhan. Now make sure when you give an adhan, you don't expect people to come for jamaat. People for jamaat, bhai, ye to adhan ho rahi hai hamari locality mein. It's not that. So when you give adhan, make sure you're not even disturbing your neighbors as such. So give an adhan in every room as many times as you can, and you will see, insha'Allah ta'ala, that the barakat of the words of the adhan will change the situation of the house. If there are certain uncanny events that are taking place in the house, you will find that inshallah that disturbance, that annoyance will disappear immediately after giving adhan. And so this at times, inshallah ta'ala, can work. Obviously, not complete access is given to the jinns that they can just come and rebel and fight with insan, because this dunya we share with the jinn and the ins. This dunya we share with the jinn and the ins. But at times there is a clash. At times there is a clash. Another example also that the scholars have given is what Ibn Aqil has mentioned in his book called Al-Funun. Ibn Aqil has mentioned in his book called Al-Funun. He says that there was a property in Baghdad, a good house that was up for rent. And so a group of people came. They wanted tenancy of that property. And so in Baghdad in those days, to get a rented accommodation, that is great boon for an individual. Great boon to have a house. And so a group of people came and they said that we will take up this property. And they were living in this property for many days. And subhanAllah, one morning, all of the people, the entire group of people that were living there, were found dead in the property. All of them were killed. And so no one had a clue what had happened to them. There was no proof of anything that you had people that broke into the property, or there was enmity between them, or someone came with malicious intention to kill them. Nothing of the sort, no clues. But it was rumored that the jinns have killed all of them. It was rumored that the jinns have killed every single one of them. And so the police came, and there was no one there to suspect, and the case was closed. But the neighbors were saying that definitely there is activity of the jinns in that house. And so this property was left vacant for many, many months thereafter, until this Hafisab came, Al-Muqri. In the Arabic language, Al-Muqri means a Hafiz of the Quran. And this is also a great ni'mah, to be a Hafiz of the Quran. And so this Hafisab came in Baghdad, and he was in need of a rented accommodation. He was a traveler, a musafir. And so they said to him that, look, we have one property here, and it's up to you. But the neighbor said to him that a few months ago, this incident had taken place. So this Muqri, this Hafiz of the Quran, said, no problem. I will take up the property, let me stay inside. And so the neighbors were now gossiping that it seems that the same fate will occur with this man also, as with the previous tenants. He would suffer the same fate. He will also be killed. And they were saying, are you sure that you want to stay here? He said, no, I am fine, let me stay here. And so mashallah, he took up tenancy to this property, and he was living there. The first night, he himself says that it was time for Isha. So I was praying Isha, and then after that, I was reciting the Quran, sitting on the Musalla, reciting the Quran, sitting on the Musalla, subhanallah. And then all of a sudden, he saw, what he saw is that this young man was walking in front of him from the walls of the property. From the wall of the property, just somebody coming in like that. And this happens. It also happened to a lady who said that she actually could see a Christian priest with a cross walking in front of her from the walls, coming to her. And that priest, of course, was a non-Muslim jinn, and he would not allow the husband to get close to the wife. And he would say that she is my wife. He would say that she is my wife. Despite the fact that she is a Muslima, and he dresses up as a priest, he's got a cross, and he's a Christian man who comes. So khair, he says that I saw this man, a young man, walking in front of me. And when he came walking in front of me from the walls of the property, of course, naturally a person would be scared. These are not things that you see every day. And so he started sort of shaking, and he got scared. So this jinn spoke to him and said to him that, worry not, nothing will happen to you. And he said that, I want to listen to your Quran. So read the Quran in front of me. And then he said to him that, I want you to teach me Quran also. I want you to teach me Quran. Subhanallah. And so he did what the jinn said to him. So khair, this Hafisab said to him that, can you tell me what happened to the previous tenants and how they were killed? So the jinns told him, this one man who was the jinn from the many that were there, he said that they were sinful people. They were sinful people, and they used this property as a place of zina and drinking alcohol. And all of us here are pious jinns, Muslims. All of us are pious jinns. We are Muslim jinns. And because you are a Muslim, no harm will come to you. Because you are clean, pure, you read Salah and you recite the Quran, no harm will come to you. But we tried and nothing happened. They would do zina and they would drink a lot of alcohol. And obviously, all of us here, we are Muslim jinns. And we decided at the end that we will kill them all. And so all of them were killed by these Muslim jinns. And so the scholars have mentioned that when there is this clash of religious identity or incompatibility, or there is incompatibility, then this would trigger disturbances and annoyances in that part of the property. So for example, you might have Muslim ins, as in human beings, that are living in a property, but at the same time you have the shayateen that are in that property. And when a believer prays salah, and when a believer recites the Quran, obviously he finds that very difficult. And so what he will try is to make life difficult of that Muslim family that is living there. And we know of a place, in fact, a very big institute that was purchased, and it was said that as many as 100,000 Christians and Freemason jinns were living there. How many? 100,000. And when the scholar decided that we want to put up Ilmiyat, Hifz class, and the madrasa there, it was virtually a jihad between the group of scholars and these jinns that were there. And they had actually threatened that we will kill every student that comes. We will kill every student that comes. So at times there is this clash. There is this clash. Now in this incident in Baghdad of this man, what Ibn Aqil has mentioned in his Kitab al-Funun, we see that the Muslims were pious, the Muslim family that came thereafter had no issue. Why? Because there were Muslim jinns that were living in that property. But at times it can also be very different for an individual. There is also another incident that is mentioned in a kitab of a man who came to Basra. He was a businessman. He was from the tribe of Banu Ka'ab. He was from the tribe of Banu Ka'ab. And he came to Basra. And what he was doing is that he was selling dates. So in the night he wanted to stay, and so in an emergency he took up tenancy in this house, rented accommodation, and again some of the people said to him that it is better you don't stay in this house. He said, why? And they said to him that, well, all sorts of things happen in this house, as in it's a haunted house. Again, this man, Banu Ka'ab, was a pious man. And so he says that I was so tired, and you get some people, mashallah, who don't actually fear anyone. And they say, well, whatever happens, happens by the will of Allah. Whatever happens, happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this man was living in this house. In the night, he says that as I was about to go to sleep, I saw this black figure, huge black figure, that just engulfed me. It came in front of me with red blazing eyes, with red eyes. And it was as if it was about to attack me and kill me completely. And all of a sudden, suddenly, subhanallah, he said the first words that came into my mouth was Ayatul Kursi. And as he came close to me, I started reading Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatu wa la nawm. And he says that when I read the words وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا, it was as if something was burning it. As if something was burning that jinn. And so I noticed that every time I read وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا, it was feeling a lot of pain. And so I continuously recited this ayah, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ وَلَا يَو. And I could hear screaming. And then all of a sudden everything just stopped. And he says, I was tired and I went to sleep. But in the morning when I woke up, what I saw was burnt up ashes on the floor. What did he see? Burnt up ashes on the floor. The amils in the locality in Basra said to him that, subhanallah, this was an ifrit, a jinn, a shaitan, and your ayatul kursi killed him. And your ayatul kursi burnt him by you reading ayatul kursi. And so, subhanallah, this is something that is so important, my respected brothers, that we read ayatul kursi, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Even the recitation of the Quran will assist a person. And in the hadith, clearly Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, don't make your homes into qabristan, into graveyards. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, read Suratul Baqarah. For in any property Suratul Baqarah is read, the shaitan cannot take any control of that part in which Suratul Baqarah is read. And so get into the habit of reading Suratul Baqarah. Read Suratul Baqarah, and if you feel that something uncanny is happening in the property, just give an azan. Give azan. Read Suratul Baqarah. Read Ayatul Kursi. Do the wird of Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. Go into every corner of the house and read Ayatul Kursi all the time. Make it a habit in the night, in the morning. Do your wazaif. And you will soon see that, inshallah, slowly, it will be defeated. It will be defeated. We've heard of Maldives Islands. Have you heard of Maldives Islands? Anybody been to Maldives Islands for a holiday here? No, nobody. You've been? No. Maldives Islands. Ibn Battuta, the very famous Moroccan traveler from Morocco, very famous man, a great Muslim traveler. In the 14th century, he says that when I got to Maldives Islands, he records this fascinating incident of how all the people of Maldives Islands converted to Islam. All the people in Maldives Islands converted to Islam. All of them were idol worshippers. Sab mushrikeen the, idol worshippers. And so he says, he gives an account of what had happened. And he says that in Maldives Islands, there was this jinn that came out from the sea. He was a sea demon. He was a sea demon. And the people in the locality knew him by the name Rana Mari. What would they call him? Rana Mari. Rana Mari, the great jinn. Rana Mari, the great jinn. And so what he would do is that he would appear every month and he would come out from the sea. He would come out from the sea and he would actually take control of the people of the Maldives Islands, and he would say to them that if you don't give me a virgin girl in sacrifice every month, I will destroy everything that you have and I will kill every one of you. And so this jinn was something that all of the people of Maldives Islands and the king also feared him. And so they had no choice. And what they would do is that they would cast a lot, and every month a young girl, a virgin girl, was presented to this jinn. And close to the seashore, there was a temple. And what the people would do is that they would push this girl into this temple. And subhanallah, what would happen is that in the morning, they would find that this lady, this girl would be killed and also raped at the same time by this jinn. So this is what he would do every month. And so every month, a lady, a virgin girl, was given to this jinn who was called Rana Mari. And so Ibn Battuta says, when he got there on the 14th century, a man whose name was Abul Barakat, Abu al-Barakat. He was a Hafiz and a great Alim. Now he came to Maldives Islands, Abu al-Barakat, and he was staying with this old lady, and this old lady also had a daughter. And so all of a sudden this lady started crying. So Abu al-Barakat, who was a Musafir and also a guest of this old lady, so he said to this old lady that, why are you crying? And she said that, look at my ill fate. How unfortunate I am that my daughter has been now selected to be presented to Rana Mari the Jinn. And so my daughter will be killed. And so the mother was crying and the mother was crying. So they said to Abu al-Barakat, this great scholar, that is why even today you will find many amongst the Hindu community, Sikh community, the Christian community, those that are non-Muslims, they will want to come to Muslim scholars to take ilaj and to find some form of a cure and a remedy of things that are happening to them. Things that are happening to them. Despite the fact that many of them don't embrace Islam. But as far as their belief is concerned, they take the verses of the Quran and the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be very powerful. So Abu al-Barakat said to this old lady, worry not, I will assist you. And so in the morning what you do is that I will put on a burqa. I will put on a burqa and I will cover myself. And naturally it was said that Abu al-Barakat's face was such that he didn't have a lot of facial hair. So not a very long beard. And he put on a scarf and a full burqa as if this was a Muslim lady. And it was Abu al-Barakat, not a virgin lady, and they pushed him into this cave. And he was inside the cave. And Abu al-Barakat says that what I did is that I sat and all I did was recite the Quran. Throughout the day and throughout the night, I was reciting the Quran. From the mouth of the cave, I could see and I could sense that as if somebody was trying to come in, but access was not given to him. Somebody was trying to come in and access was not given to him. And I would stand up and walk around in the inside part of the cave and I would read the Quran, I would read Suratul Baqarah, I would read Ayatul Kursi. I read the whole Quran until morning and nothing had happened to me. And in the morning, usually what would happen is that all of the people of Maldives Islands would gather and look into what had happened, that generally they would find the body of that young girl killed and raped. And so what had happened this time? Nothing had happened. Sheikh Abu al-Barakat actually came out and he walked in front of the people and he opened the burqa and people were shocked to see that this was not a virgin girl of that old woman, but rather it was Sheikh Abu al-Barakat. And so the king of Maldives Islands came to greet him and said to him, what did you do to defeat the Rana Mari Jinn? The Rana Mari Jinn. And he said, what I did is that I read the Quran. I am a Hafiz of the Quran and also an Alim of the Quran. And I invite all of you to Islam and Allah will give all of you complete protection from all the shayateen that are in this island. It is said that the first man to embrace Islam at the hands of Sheikh Abu al-Barakat was the king of Maldives. And so when the king accepted Islam, all of the other people, his subjects, had also embraced Islam. And subhanallah, thereafter, there was no trouble that was given to the people of Maldives. And so my respected brothers and elders, of course, there are people who suffer from haunted properties, haunted houses, but at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ilaj, adhan, ayatul kursi, mu'awwadhatain, generally reciting the Quran, your dhikr, and subhanallah, suratul baqarah. These are powerful potents that will remove the ill effects of shayateen and the jinns. Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.